Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Later, later, after kirtan. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Vardhadi. Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Vardhadi. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana.
Wait, I'll explain. Wait.
Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivijagacharya Astatara Satasi Srimad His Divine Grace Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Grantharachi Mad Bhagavatam Ki Samveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Nitai Gorpe Manandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. I think I'll make a little explanation about one of our rituals, the garlanding ritual. We'll say this is the way to do it, and then the other way is weird. When Prabhupada took his seat, someone came forward right after he took his seat and offered him a garland. It's not that right in the middle of a kirtan, someone came and offered Prabhupada a garland. It's if they forgot, then after the kirtan, but not the kirtan is focused activity and then another activity. This other way of doing things, it's weird. Oh yeah, we forgot to give the garland. Here's the garland. So when not just me, when guests come, when you have a speaker or you give a garland to someone, they sit down. You offer. So it's that, if you're going to do a ritual, that's part of the ritual. That's the appropriate time. And if you forgot or something like that, then wait till the kirtan is over and then offer a garland. Kind of like a, oh yeah, ritual. Mindless. There's not a rule in Hari Bhakti Vilas or anything like that about it. It's just kind of common sense. Sometimes common sense is rare to find. text number 80, along with, I'm going to read text 81 also. You'll see why. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitreya Uvacha. Bhagavata Mukhyo Bhagavan. Narado Hamsayor Gatim. Pradarsha Yamum Amantriya. Siddhalokam Tatom Tatogamat. Maitreya Uvacha. Bhagavata Mukhyo Bhagavan. Narado Hamsayor Gatim. Pradarsha Yamum Amantriya. Siddhalokam Tato Gamat. Maitreya Uvacha. Bhagavata Mukhyo Bhagavan. Narado Hamsayor Gatim. Pradarsha Yamum Amantriya. Siddhalokam Tato Gamat. Maitreya Uvacha. Bhagavata Mukhyo Bhagavan. Narado Hamsayor Gatim. Pradarsha Yamum Amantriya. Siddhaloka Tato Gamat. Ladies. Maitreya Uvacha. Bhagavata Mukhyo Bhagavan. Narado Hamsayor Gatim. Pradarsha Yamum Amantriya. Siddhalokam Tato Gamat. Maitreya Uvacha. Maitreya said, Bhagavata, of the devotees, Mukhyaha, the chief, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Naradaha, Narada Muni, Hamsayaho, of the living entity and the Lord, Gatim, constitutional position. Pradarsha, having shown. He, certainly. Amum, him, the king. Amantriya, after inviting. Siddha lokam, to Siddha loka. Tattaha, thereafter. Agamat, departed. Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued, the supreme devotee, the great saint Narada, thus explained to King Prachinibari the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. After giving an invitation to the king, Narada Muni left to return to Siddhaloka. Purport. Siddhaloka and Brahmaloka are both within the same planetary system. Brahmaloka is understood to be the highest planet within this universe. Listen to this sentence. Siddhaloka is considered to be one of the satellites of Brahmaloka. Not a well-known astronomical fact. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka have all the powers of yogic perfection. That's why it's called Siddhaloka. From this verse, it appears that the great saint, the great sage, Narada, is an inhabitant of Siddhaloka. It doesn't say that he is. He says it appears that he is, because Narada goes all over the place. He's got so many residences, he doesn't have any. We'll come back to that. Although he travels to all the planetary systems, all the residents of Siddhaloka are spacemen. And they can travel in space without mechanical help. The residents of Siddhaloka can go from one planet to another individually by virtue of their yogic perfection. After giving instructions to the great King Prachinibhari, Narada Muni departed and also invited him to Siddhaloka. End of purport. Trying to remember where I was. Oh yeah, Gitanagari. In the verses before everybody got to Gitanagari and after everybody left Gitanagari, there are a few personalities remaining. There was a verse that was describing the range of the demigods when Hiranyakashipu took over Indra's palace. He was so powerful that even those empowered by Lord Vishnu to be controllers of the universe were overwhelmed with fear. Because not only Hiranyakashipu was powerful, but he was vicious. So everyone but three didn't say the three, so in the purport Prabhupada identifies who the three were. Everyone except the three, all the demigods except the three, with their own hands came and brought presentations, meaning they didn't just send a messenger, take this to Hiranyakashipu and tell him Hari Bol. They went personally so that, you know, save their backsides, basically. So we say, conventionally, because we've heard it from Prabhupada over and over, there's 33 million demigods. And so in this verse, the three indicate, Prabhupada's purport was saying, three can mean the three that didn't make presentations to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma, the guna avatars, or it can indicate also the three categories of demigods. There's the sons of Aditi, Indra, Vivaswan, and their descendants, and so that's one group. The Rudras, the expansions of Lord Shiva, That's another group. And what was the third group? Can you remember? Huh? A little louder? Yeah, the Vasus. Vasus? That was one of the groups. Vasus are... Anyway, and then there's those that are under those who are in that group of three, the Maruts, and so forth. So commonly, when referring to the demigods, just to finish that point, it's not just those in charge of the elements of our life, like water, fire, wind, sun, rain. Those are the big ones. There's so many others. Because I've often wondered, 33 million, my goodness. So there's different categories. And so they're powerful personalities within the universe, not necessarily governing or controlling, at least apparently, the every moment day-to-day affairs, like, you know, what's the role of the Vasus, or the role of the Rudras. Well, the role of the Rudras comes into play with devastation, but it's not influencing our day-to-day affairs, other than the Rudra principle or the destruction principle, the motive ignorance principle, the principle of destruction, creation, maintenance, and destruction. Anyway, commonly the Apsaras, Gandharvas, Siddhas, and Charanas, they're mentioned, like, in a group. And they were also present. So not all of them, obviously, because the Siddhas are indifferent, but they're inhabitants of the heavenly planets, and they play a function in the heavenly planets to help keep the functioning and the ambience of the heavenly planets nice. Some sing, some dance, and they're like the Ashvini Kumaras, nice example. They're not in the group that Indra is in. So, you know, Indra's kind of uptight about, he's turf conscious. He you know, wants to make sure that other people don't encroach on his turf and you know, ultimately take his position. That's called jealousy. I'm going a far afield from this, but it's interesting education. Envy is somebody has something that I wish I had, but because they have it, I'm envious of that someone. And jealousy, this is just a etymology or a distinction between envy and jealousy, or they're commonly put together. Someone who is jealous of another person, commonly that's the same thing as envy. But more the proper use of the word jealousy is, I have something and I jealously guard that something that I have. That's more precise use of the word jealous. So Indra's jealous. He's turf conscious. The Ashvini Kumaras are royal physicians in the heavenly realm, but they don't get things that the demigods get. They don't get the nectar of immortality, the amrita, the soma rasa, and things like that. And he's concerned that they not get transcendental knowledge. He warned Dadichi, don't give the Ashvini Kumaras transcendental knowledge or cut your head off. He's like, you know, pretty macho. Anyway,
So the Ashwini Kumaras told the Dichi, we got a solution to that one. You're very generous. He's very liberal. He said, we have a plan. We can cut off your head. We'll put on a horse's head. And you, through the horse's head, you can give us transcendental knowledge. And then when Indra comes along and finds out that you gave us transcendental knowledge, he'll cut off your head and we'll put the other head back on again. He said, okay. So he gave transcendental knowledge to the Ashwini Kumaras, and Indra came with his thunderbolt, and Ashwini Kumaras put his head back in place. So there are persons that are all of that. There are persons that are in the category of denizens of heaven, but aren't in the same category as Indra and the controlling deities. But they're uniquely empowered. And then here we're hearing about the siddhas that reside in Siddhaloka, which of all things is a satellite of Brahmaloka. That's as far as you can go, Brahmaloka, in the created realm. And I don't know any details about Siddhaloka other than what's here. And the residents have all mystic perfections. All the residents have all mystic perfections. Sometimes they like to use them. Go visit functions in Swargaloka. So zoom, zoom, off they go. And they don't need a spacecraft. They just, by mystic power, zoom, zoom, there they go. And all the other mystic perfections. That doesn't make, by someone having mystic perfection, it doesn't make them God. In this world, someone shows some mystic perfection, foolish people think, oh, he's God. And some foolish persons say, I'm God. Look at my mystic perfection. I can do something that others can't do. I'm God. Without going into it too much, that is it's foolish. It's a mistake. In any case, Narada has access, or as Prabhupada is saying here, it appears that he's a resident of Siddhaloka. But actually he has no residence. When Narada's all over the place. Narada comes, he goes wherever he wants to go. He's commonly, more commonly, understood to be a Vaikunthavasi in the spiritual world. At the same time, he goes to places where sinful people are. Magari the hunter. And, you know, different kings and different spheres, different realms, different regions. He goes to Dwarka. He goes wherever he wants to go. And he has no fixed residence. But in any case, he invited King Prajinibari, come on over to Siddhaloka. That's this word, amantriya. Amantriya, after inviting. He gave an invitation. And then he left. So the next verse, I'm also going to read. Oh, I want to just a couple of Sanskrit details. There's the first line, Bhagavata Mukyo Bhagavan. Bhagavan, Narada is being referred to as Bhagavan. And the reason, because there's intimate connection with Bhagavan. the one so intimately connected with Bhagavan as is Narada, he is sometimes called Bhagavan. And we shouldn't make the mistake. Commonly, Prabhupada says, Bhagavan is reserved for one person, the personality of Godhead. And Narada isn't the personality of Godhead, but he has an intimate connection with the personality of Godhead. And so Maitreya is speaking of him as Bhagavan. And here's why. Bhagavata mukyo. Bhagavata means in relation to Bhagavan. Like, what's the verse from Canto 1, Chapter 2? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Familiar with that verse? Nityam Bhagavata. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains there's Bhagavan, and that which is in relation to Bhagavan is Bhagavata. It's just a Sanskrit grammar rule. And there are two Bhagavatas, the book Bhagavata and the person Bhagavata. So Bhagavata Purana is the Purana that's in relation to Bhagavan. And we take Bhagavata Purana as non-different from Krishna, right? It's the literary manifestation of Krishna. Then there's the person, Bhagavata, who speaks the message of Bhagavata Purana. That's the person, Bhagavata. So, you know, A equals B, C equals B, so A equals C. The meaning, the person who speaks transparently the Bhagavata Purana is as good as the Bhagavata Purana. Therefore, the person Bhagavata. So we're to accept the representative of Krishna with the same respect that we offer to Krishna. Like that section from Nectar Devotion, where it speaks of how one should see the spiritual master, but not just the spiritual master. One should see the transparent conveyor of the message of the Bhagavatam. You're to see that person, the person Bhagavata, as good as the Bhagavata, as good as Bhagavan, because the Bhagavata, the book Bhagavata, is as good as Bhagavan. You follow logic? This equals this equals this. But then there's a distinction, at least with the person Bhagavata, because the person Bhagavata is a jiva soul, and the book Bhagavata is another tattva. It's the same category as Bhagavan, although it's a book. It's in the same category, non-different. So with the guru or the person Bhagavata, they are one and different. We're not to see the spiritual master as God. Or the spiritual master who says, I'm God, he's dog. But still, so those who see the person Bhagavata or the spiritual master, they are to accept them, according to Nectar Devotion and all those nice quotes in that section, as good as God or as God. So as good as God is here, Bhagavan. That's how Maitreya is seeing Narada and addressing him. Because Bhagavata Mukyo, Mukya means face or mouth. Chitete Guru Vakya. So for the mouth one speaks. But so another meaning is the head or chief. So he's amongst Bhagavatas, he's the mukyo. He's the chief of all Bhagavatas. And therefore, Bhagavan, he's just so intimately connected to Bhagavan. Bhagavan, but different. Then Narado Hamsayor Gatim. We know what Hamsa is. What's Hamsa? Swan. Hamsa. It's like Parama Hamsa is the topmost stage of sannyas. Parama Hamsa, the supreme swan. So Narada, he's given this meaning here is Hamsayor. He's described the truth, the tattva, about the personality of Godhead and the living entity in their perfected, living entity in his perfected state. Gatim. Gatim means, commonly it means goal or destination. Param Gatim, that's the spiritual world. The Bhagavatam speaks of Param Gatim, Param Satyam, the ultimate goal of life. Na te vidu svarta gatim hi Vishnu, Prahlad Maharaj speaking, saying that Dorashaye, those who are cripple-minded, they don't know what the goal of life is. Gatim means goal. In this case, it's the constitutional position of the living entity in his liberated state and the Supreme, his relationship with the Supreme Lord. So Narada, he's saying, having explained all of this extensively, just out of compassion and mercy to the king, pradarshaya, having shown darshan, having shown all of this, he not only... A qualified person like Narada doesn't just transfer information, but he enlightened. He gave him the darshan of these truths, like tatvadarshihi. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadikshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshan. A tatvadarshi can impart knowledge. And imparting knowledge is bring the realization, awaken the realized state of that knowledge if the receiver's on. But the capacity is there from such a person as Narada. And finally, the king got it. So pradarshaya. And then he invited him, please come sometime and visit me in Sitaloka. But there was a prior instruction that he gave besides the invitation. The instruction was twofold, you know, get out and take up singular attachment to the personality of Godhead. Get out of this trap of fruitive activity. Leave home. He wasn't indirect. He was very... Leave home. Leave your attachments. Because you can leave your attachments without leaving home. But King Prachinibari was too much entangled. And so, the next verse. In the presence of his ministers, the saintly King Prachinibari left orders for his sons to protect the citizens. He then left home and went off to undergo austerities in a holy place known as Kapilashrama. Purport. The word praja sarga is very important in this verse. When the saintly king Prachinibari was induced by the great sage Narada to leave home and take to the devotional service of the Lord, his sons had not yet returned from their austerities in the water. However, he did not wait for their return, but simply left messages to the effect that his sons were to protect the mass of citizens. According to Viraragava Acharya, such protection means organizing the citizens into the specific divisions of the four varnas and four ashramas. It was the responsibility of the royal order to see that the citizens were following the regular principles of the four varnas, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and the ashramas, namely Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. It is very difficult to rule citizens in a kingdom without organizing this Varnashrama Dharma, to rule the mass of citizens in a state and keep them in complete progressive order is not possible simply by passing laws every year in a legislative assembly. The Varnashrama Dharma is essential in a good government. One class of men, the Brahmanas, must be intelligent and Brahminically qualified. Another class must be trained in administrative work, Kshatriya, another in mercantile business, Vaishya, and another simply in labor, Shudra. These four classes of men are already there according to nature, but it is the government's duty to see that all four of these classes follow the principles of their varnas methodically. This is called abhirakshana, or protection. Rakshana, raksha, protection, abhirakshana. Paragraph. It is significant that when my Maharaj Prachinibhari was convinced of the goal of life through the instructions of Narada, he did not wait even a moment to see his sons return, but left immediately. There were many things to be done upon the return of his sons, but he simply left them a message. He knew what his prime duty was. He simply left instructions for his sons and went off for the purpose of spiritual advancement. This is the system of Vedic civilization. Final paragraph. Sridhar Swami informs us that Kapilashrama is located at the confluence of the Ganges in the Bay of Bengal, a place known now as Ganga Sagara. This place is still famous as a place of pilgrimage, and many millions of people gather there every year on the day of Makara Sankranti and take bath. Many millions. It is called Kapilashrama because of Lord Kapila's living there to perform his austerities and penances. Lord Kapila propounded the Sankhya system of philosophy. End of purport. So the detachment of the king was complete in the sense that he then engaged in devotional service. But in order to qualify himself for devotional service, very similar to what his sons had done to qualify themselves for material activity or producing praja, offspring, he wanted to qualify himself, to purify himself first. So he went to a sacred place to do that, Kapilashrama. That doesn't say that he went to live with Kapila in Kapila's ashram. He went to that place because Kapila's residence is in a different place. It's in, at least the Bhagavatam describes, in a lower region within the universe, and there he resides and conducts his activities. But one of the places where Lord Kapila performed his austerities is this place, Ganga Sagara, at least currently called like that. And Ganga Sagara is very famous. Not only famous in Bengal, it's very famous all over India, because the Ganges or the Ganga is revered everywhere. And where the Ganga flows into the ocean, that place is a sacred place. The whole of the Ganges is sacred, but it's a very, very large area. And there are many tributaries of the Ganges that come together just before entering into the Bay of Bengal. It's a place where, like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Mother Sachi said, don't go to Vrindavan, go to Puri, because many of the Vaishnavas in Navadvip, they go to Puri every year to take part in Jagannath Rath Yatra. And similarly, so that way I can get news of your activities. And similarly, people from, she said, from Puri, they will come from time to time to go to take bath in the Ganges. So maybe you will come and I will get to see you directly. But one of the places that's favorite for them to go is Gangasagara. Long story, there's not time to narrate the long story, but Ganga Mata Goswamini wanted to, on Makara Sankranti, go there. But she couldn't go, because many of the people from Puri were going. It's very, very auspicious. And so she wanted to go, but she couldn't go, because she had this mandate to stay and worship the deity. So she stayed, and then the pastime took place with Jagannath, where the tank, Sweta Ganga, she entered there and experienced the same, of the auspiciousness and more, of going to Gangasagara by Lord Jagannath's mercy. So it's common, aside from the detail of where Kapilashrama is and what it is, the principle is, when one is wishing to qualify oneself in devotional service, then one may go to a sacred place. Like many devotees, ISKCON devotees, will go to Vrindavan, especially in Kartik. The place is so crowded, too crowded. But In this year, Purushottam month year, whoa, so crowded. We conducted I didn't know to not do this, so I did it. We conducted a Vrindavan Yatra one year when there was a Purushottam month. Whew. It was on an Ekadasi day. Part of the schedule was we did a japa circumambulation of inner Vrindavan. There's, you know, the whole Braj Mandala, and then there's the Vrindavan town. And there's a path that you can follow, and we followed. And there's a vivid memory. It was like the number of people on the streets of New York during rush hour heading for the subways. The entire distance all around Vrindavan. And, you know, like 6-7 people wide for the entire stretch, however many miles that is. Just a sea of people. And, that, you know, where they came from, all over the place. Not just Vrindavan residents, because it's such an auspicious month in an auspicious place. So I said, maybe is this just the Kadas? They said, no, the whole month is like this. Those that are not followers of the Vedas and the Vedic tradition, and those who are not having faith in those things, can't relate. But those that have faith, as King Prajini Bari now had come to the position of, his light was on and he had faith in the process of devotional service. So he wanted the association of saintly persons. Not only to go to the sacred place and take bath, but to be in the association of sacred persons. That's the teaching. When you go to a sacred place, it's not just like the cow or the ass. Go and enter into the river and sacred river and become cleansed of sins. Because that can happen. But hear from the saintly persons. Another place of similar nature is referred to in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, Narayana Saras, it's called. This is Sagara, Ganga Sagara, but where the Sindhu River used to flow into the ocean. So the, I'm up here, I'm so oh, for you it's over here. The northwest part of India, what was then, you know, India, the Sindhu River flowed and entered into the ocean. So that was another area where many saintly persons resided. So Daksha had sent his sons to go there to qualify themselves to produce good praja because of the auspiciousness of the place. And part of the going to an auspicious place is to hear. And something like the purpose of having a temple, Prabhupada's description, many people, certainly many people from India, want to come to the temple, to the place of worship. Like in any religion, the synagogue, the mosque, the church, the temple. So different names of the place of worship. Why? Because there's a sense that it's sacred, it's holy, God is there. The presence, you can feel the presence of God because of the prayer in the church or the different the religious activities that take place. There's this vibration that it inspires by design. You know, Gothic churches and so forth, they're designed to bring a mood of awe and reverence. But then that's there primarily for Kanishtas. That is, God is in the place of worship. So they go to the place of worship and see God or pray to God or whatever the various religion teaches them to do, to commune with God. And then there's the Madhyama position where that's possible just through hearing and chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. It doesn't mean we drop the deity worship, but it's Krishna's presence just through that sound vibration. And there's a phenomena that, like when we're having class and the persons that want to come and take darshan of the deity, it's like we're not even here. Oblivious. They can walk right, you know. So we kind of trained, okay, you walk out there. But, you know, we're not here. And the hearing and chanting is not here. And they're not interested in the hearing and chanting because it's just the deity. And so for one of the reasons is having temples is for people in general to come and receive the mercy of the deity, offer their prayers, offer something, some gift, some grain, some fruit, some rice, something from the fruit of their work offered to the Lord. And they do. At least those that have that Kanishta Adhikari conception or capacity. That's good. And we want them to come to the Madhyama position where hearing and chanting, so we offer them books. They can start in their home and hear and chant if they maybe can sit and hear the class too. That's nice. And regularly engage in hearing and chanting along with worship of the deity and in some time make their home such a place. Install a deity and worship Krishna, hear and chant. So King Prachini Bari is going to that place for that purpose, to qualify himself, to elevate and purify himself, to become more capable of rendering devotional service per the instructions of Narada. Hare Krishna. And there, see if there's any discussion.
I remember Srila Prabhupada said, my spiritual master pushed me and I'm pushing you. This is a pushing movement. And then I think I read or heard that Bhakti Siddhanta left the planet prematurely because he was somewhat discouraged with his disciples, or they were just staying at the Kanista platform. They weren't rising above despite all his endeavors to bring them to a higher level.
And worse, he was disgusted because they were quibbling over their title and their room and their position. And yeah. Something else? Yes. You're on.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. What does this mean to us?
What?
These amazing persons.
Who?
That we're talking about in the stories.
I can hear you better without the microphone. Speak clearly.
Narada is so amazing.
Narada's amazing, yes.
And for ourselves personally.
We're in his disciplic succession, so celebrate. And those in his disciplic succession are to emulate, not imitate, but emulate, follow the example. The potency is there in that disciplic succession through that line. So it's directly in the Bhagavatam in a number of places. This is one of them. I mean, such an expansive section of Bhagavatam, we're getting his association. And his association comes in the form of his instructions. And we too can take his instructions and in that way get his association. Fantastic, huh? Yes.
The Narada could be considered a resident of Vaikuntha Basi.
Yeah.
I was wondering how...
He's commonly considered like that.
As Gaudiya Vaishnavas, what is our mood towards Narayan or Vishnu? Because... In the beginning...
He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's our view or attitude.
Sometimes I feel like I've heard the advent, like in the Vrindavan mood, they actually abhor the features of Narayan or...
I don't know where you heard that.
Or consider going to Vaikuntha as hellish as a...
I don't know where you heard that. I don't know where either of you heard that. Shocking. You want to continue with your question?
So there's no conflict of...
No. Conflict.
One's desire.
There's a different mood. Different moods of love. Let's look at Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Superlative Gaudiya Vaishnava. Topmost Gaudiya Vaishnava. I mean, when you've been to Mayapur? Yes. So you, when you, did you go to the his headquarters, the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math? Did you go in the back where there, he has Govardhan Hill, Radhakund, Shyamakund, Vrindavan in Mayapur? And then did you go to the temple, Gandharvika Giridhari, see the deity there? And did you go around the circumambulate the deity and you saw the four? It was a pillar of his teaching that Lord Chaitanya drew, he united, he was in full resonance with the teachings of each of the four sampradayas. One of which, Sri Sampradaya in particular, speaks of Narayan in Vaikuntha as supreme. So I don't know where this idea came from. And maybe it's, you heard it in a way differently than the way it was said, or something out of context or something like that. But I'm sorry, it's not, abhor the feature of Narayan and the residence of Narayan. Look at the gopis when they saw Narayan. They went and paid their obeisance. They go, oh, come on. That's offensive. Again, maybe it was, the context was specific and something, something, something. You know, maybe you didn't understand something. But that statement on his face is shocking.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes.
I'm sorry for sharing that.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Sorry I was late. I'm having a very difficult time relinquishing, giving up this vision that includes like bad and good and then like good, better and best. Seeing everything in terms of these hierarchies and trying to, so it's very difficult.
Just connect it to Krishna, and then it's no problem. There's perfect, more perfect, most perfect in the spiritual world. There is such a thing as, in this world, there's nothing perfect. So it's not, but there is the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. And those features that resemble or are made up or exhibited by the quality of goodness, relatively speaking, it's better. The example in the Bhagavatam is wood is better than raw earth. Smoke is better than wood. And fire is best. Because with fire one can perform sacrifice and connect with the personality of Godhead through sacrifice. And then the purport you read, it's, you know, the mode of goodness. So that there's relativity. Then there's absolute, that it's all zero unless you put a one in front of it. So without the one in front of it, which is better, zero or zero or zero? Without the one in front of it, it's zero. It's a little bit like a question, you know, that was not the same, but it's a little bit like the question that Avella was asking yesterday about something. And My answer, because he went and asked me again later, whatever, you said something. That there are different ways of looking at, so it was the topic was bhakti that's mixed. And we look at it as mixed devotional service. That's one way of looking at it. And it's a perfectly legitimate way of looking at it. Then there's another way of looking at it. And that is, for one who is mixed, but following the sadhana given by Rupa Goswami and faithfully following it to reach the The sadhya is to reach the goal. Rupa Goswami looks at that as uttam bhakti. Provided those little caveats. Just practicing with jnana and karma, and, you know, with contamination, but cultivating without contamination, following the teachings of Rupa Goswami, that's uttam bhakti. So one picture is it's uttam bhakti, another picture is it's mishra bhakti. And they're both correct, the different angles of looking at the same thing. And similarly, you know, this one. Huh? The question that you're raising. Sure you can. Perfect. More perfect. Most perfect. Superlative perfect. The love of the gopis is the most exalted. Does that mean Mother Yasoda's down here? And Rukmini, she's off in a corner somewhere. Because she's not a gopi. You're not qualified. It's not false ego. You don't have the adhikar to see those things, and that's okay. Don't try to see those things if you don't have the. But you know you can understand through hearing. And it, as the heart becomes purified, then you can understand, you know, have some realization about it. But please save yourself some grief. Yes, Maharaj, save me some grief. Don't try to understand from your present position. Your head scratching and chin pulling. It's not going to happen that way. By hearing. And when the adhikar is there, you'll realize it. Until then, you're just hearing and vibrating. Shravanam kirtanam. And gradual purification. So now back to this, you know, what's the position of good, better, best? It's zero. Another picture is one is relatively better. It's because it's closer to transcendence. Mode of goodness is best between the three. So go to the mode of goodness. But without the one in front of it, it's a zero. Wet stool, dry stool. Without the one in front of it. And then go to the transcendental side. Perfect. It's something like, I gave one example already. The love of the gopis is most exalted amongst all those who are perfected. So they're superlatively, and amongst them, Srimati, it's like the nectar of instruction. That, you know, those final verses. And then superlative is Radhakund. And but it doesn't mean, oh, okay, Vrindavan is like, unless it's Radhakund. That's offensive. It's erroneous. Or in another nice example is from Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where Narada is searching for that person who is the recipient of the greatest mercy of Krishna. And he goes through all these different persons and they say, no, no, not me, someone else. He goes to the someone else, you're the greatest recipient. No, no, not me, here's my disqualification, someone else. And on and on. And somewhere in the commentary, Sanatana Goswami says they're actually all perfect. Hint. They're all perfect. But then there's degrees. And they're exhibiting humility, that's one thing. But there are degrees, and the superlative is the Krishna says to the queens, who are perfect, what is the uniqueness of Vrindavan? Why I'm so very attracted to Vrindavan? And the residents of Vrindavan, the Rajavasis, because of the quality of their love, the intensity and selflessness. It's not to say, okay, that means Mother Jasoda is selfish and Rukmini is selfish. And because I had a discussion with somebody that got really, they were feeling grief. Wait a minute, am I supposed to accept that Rukmini was, there was selfishness in her love? They were like disturbed. No. Perfect. And then more perfect, most perfect. The intensity of the selflessness of the gopis is such that it's so attractive to Krishna. The madhurya is the intensity of, because the queens are also madhurya. And Krishna is speaking to the queens about the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Anyway.
For me, it's because I'm trying to kind of watch my desires and see, you know, how they're changing and what the motivations are and that. So then the desire to, you know, you can desire to go to Vaikuntha, or you can desire Vrindavan, but is that offensive to, I mean, to see one as lesser than the other? I understand that is offensive. But then for me personally...
It depends on the lens through which you are looking. If you're looking through your material lens, yes. We're safe. We're followers of Lord Chaitanya. Just, you know, put your seatbelt on and we're zoom, zoom. We're heading for Krishna Loka. Just be confident like that. You don't even, like, have to cultivate and look at that one and go, no, I want that one. Just put your seatbelt on. Do your sadhana nicely. Back there. I'm going to end after this question because I've got something I've got to go do.
Maharaj, I'm trying to understand how the spiritual master, the deity, are not different than Krishna, as Krishna being the controller, enjoyer, and creator.
I got the first part. What was the last? As far as what?
As far as Krishna being the controller, the creator.
As far as Krishna being?
The controller.
The controller. Well, the controller, Krishna, can act through another person or some instrument, nimitta. You know that word from Bhagavad Gita? Nimitta. Krishna says to Arjuna, nimitta matram bhavya savya sachin. Become my instrument, O Arjuna. Nimitta means instrument. That's like, you know, I'm seated way over here and you're seated way over there. I might want to shake your hand, but it's too far, so I could get a long stick and put a glove on the end of the stick and, you know, we could shake hands. But it's not my hand, it's the glove on the end of the stick. But it's the instrument is doing the effect of we're shaking hands. You just reach out and... So Krishna is the controller, but he can do his controlling through the agency of a nimitta. It's Krishna that's doing, not the instrument that's doing. Arjuna, become my instrument. Just say yes. So then what did Krishna do? What did Arjuna do? Arjuna did all this Krishna's bidding. But it was Krishna. Because he showed in the universal form, they're all destroyed. Even if you don't become the Nimitta, it's accomplished. A fait accompli. It's already done. He's the controller. It doesn't change. Someone else becomes the instrument. And without the Krishna factor, who can do anything? Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.